Ladies and gentlemen, children of all ages, gather around the radio. It's time now for another installment of A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups. My name is Michael Harrison. It's my privilege to serve as anchor of the program. It's an ensemble show, and it's hosted by its founder, a great lady, Carol Marx, one of America's leading experts on upper demographic issues and a champion in the battle against ageism. On today's program, Carol will be speaking with Dr. Mike Denninger, a licensed professional counselor who specializes in the treatment of post-traumatic stress disorder. And he's going to talk about his book titled Snakes in My Dreams, A Mental Health Therapist's Odyssey from Hardship to Healer. We'll also be talking with our senior correspondent Steve Wiseman about long-term care insurance and Kevin Casey about what's going on behind the scenes in the talk radio world. Let's kick the show off now with an interview that I conducted several days ago on the telephone with an extraordinary young woman in her early 20s who's a singer, a songwriter, and a humanitarian. Her name is Tora Fisher. I have to tell you, I love the way you sing.
Thank you so much.
And I'll tell you, coming from someone like me who's been following popular music since I'm a kid, way before most people were born, hearing a young person have your kind of sensitivity and your type of approach to presenting a song is so refreshing in today's environment. And I don't want to sound like an old fogey and say, you know, music today is terrible, but where did you come up with such a soulful, sensitive, mature way of approaching music at such a young age in your early 20s? Amazing.
Well, first, let me say thank you, because that's such a compliment. And it's actually an interesting one to get, because I really felt like I was a songwriter before I was a singer. And I had always, you know, trained professionally, classical training for singing, but I hadn't really tried applying it to my own music. And, you know, my concern was writing a great song first and foremost. And so I was a little worried about whether or not authenticity would really come through in my voice when I was singing, but I was writing from such an honest place and such an exposed place that I really couldn't even help myself when I was singing. I think it just it came out really honest, and that's what people are responding to.
Well, it does come across as very real and very honest, and these are aspects of music that are very hard to define. You just know it when you
right.
know it. I mentioned to everybody when I introduced this segment of our program about your very dramatic past. We're approaching the 10th anniversary of a plane crash that you survived. I don't know much of the details of it. Was it a big commercial plane? Was it a small plane? And you were 13?
No, it was a small plane that we were lucky enough to ride on, taking a flight to Massachusetts. And basically, we crashed into the back of a sheet metal factory, a one-story building, and basically I walked myself out of the plane and managed to get help, and I lost my father and my stepmother on that day and a couple other family friends. And no one can really prepare for anything like that. I don't think it matters whether you're 13 or you're 300 years old. Don't think there's really a manual for, you know, how to move forward from that. But for me personally, music, I don't say this lightly, it really saved my life, because I was able to express myself and express sort of the demons that I dealt with from that accident in a healthy, cathartic way. And then being able to share it with other people was really a gift that I was given with my music.
What an extraordinary gift you have to share with people. And obviously this reality, this realism, this feeling of being in touch with human emotions, that obviously is in your system all the time, not just when you're doing music. It has to just be what you are, I would think.
It's like I have two distinctive selves, and there's the me before the crash, and then there's the me after the crash. And it just completely changes your entire world, your perspective, and you really do live with it every minute of every day. And so I don't think I could tell people that it necessarily gets easier, but I think I gain clarity and perspective and I feel more at peace with it as time goes on. And I think that's the best that you can hope for.
Well, that's the philosophers have talked about that for the ages, that, you know, time heals all wounds.
Right.
And there's so much truth to that saying, that with time we heal. Of course,
right.
We
there's so much truth, and yet at the same time, that's really just scratching the surface because, you know, you do have to have the right people around you, people that love you and care for you, and you do have to have the proper outlets. You know, as I said, for me it's music, but for other people, you know, everyone has their own coping mechanisms.
No question. And I would love to see popular music help people and be part of people's lives more so than I believe it is today. Again, I'm being careful not to fall into the trap of saying music was better than in the old days than now, because there's some great music today. But I do recall growing up and having popular music be such an important part of my life and my generation's life. And this is a generational show. It's A Touch of Gray. It's basically aimed at people over 50. So they will identify with what I'm saying.
So much of that music was also capturing just the general emotions and trials of an entire generation and a subculture and a movement. I think that's really, you know, what you're referring to.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's just a little more scattered these days. It's, you know, as a generation, you know, everyone within the 20s and 30s, they don't seem as unified in terms of culture. But I think that's sort of watered down the music a little bit.
And today's culture is extremely affected by the digital revolution. There seems to be a tremendous amount of attention deficit disorder out there.
Right. Well, the rate of consumption is so high that, you know, if you put out a great album, I mean, I put out a 14-track album in July, and, you know, people are already asking, well, when are you putting out new music? And, well, I just put out 14 tracks. That's a huge body of work that I'm really proud of that I really want to, you know, share with a lot of people. But I think it just speaks to people's perspective these days. It's just a little different.
Are you referring to the album on CD that is titled Spilling Over?
Yes.
Okay, and the song that I've been listening to, Finally Free, I believe has just been released on an EP, which for those who don't know what EP means, it means a little album, extended play,
right,
as opposed to LP, long play.
Right.
Finally Free, such a beautiful, haunting song, and we're playing a little bit of it surrounding this conversation. This is a talk show, but when we can play a little snippet of music with an artist, it obviously enhances the conversation. But the Finally Free version that's out there now was originally on Spilling Over, or is it brand new or remixed? What's the story with that?
There's the album version, and then the EP version included what I called a stripped-down Finally Free.
Uh-huh.
And I basically got together with this pianist, Ido Alexander, that I really look up to. And I just asked him to help bring a different sound and a different perspective to the song. I really wanted to use the EP as just really a lens into the Finally Free concept. And if you get the EP, it also includes a bit of an interview, and I talk about, you know, what the song meant to me and my process of writing it. And I just wanted people to be a little more intimate with the track and try to appeal to more people that way rather than just, you know, picking one track out of 14 songs. I mean, sometimes that can be a little daunting, so you have to direct people to listen to what you think they might like.
Adding to the confusion of today's music scene to folks like me, artists are doing that. There are like many versions of songs, and they evolve. It's like you release a song, and then it becomes a work in progress as you change, and you change your feelings about the song or the recording. And it's interesting.
Each time I play Finally Free, even in a live show, it takes on a different meaning for me because I'm at a different place in my life, and I feel like I'm constantly growing and learning. And so it makes sense sometimes to update the actual music to how you're feeling so that it remains, you know, authentic.
You are, as I'm listening to you, and again, I've never met you in person. I hope someday that happens. You are extremely articulate. And and we've been talking about some complex and difficult topics here, and you are putting them across on in a radio context quite beautifully. Now, there's a whole other aspect of your career, if you will, and your work and your communication. And that is the Fisher House Foundation. Now, a lot of people listening to this will be familiar with the Fisher House Foundation because the Fisher House Foundation is a foundation that's involved in charitable work that happens to be a favorite among radio talk show hosts around the country. And there's been a tremendous alliance between talk radio and the Fisher House Foundation. But for those who do not know the Fisher House Foundation, could you give us a brief description of what it is and what your connection to it is?
Sure. So essentially a Fisher House is a home away from home for military families dealing with an injury or illness. And a lot of people can say, you can think of it like a Ronald McDonald House, but for our veterans and service members and their families. And essentially there's no fee or cost to stay there, and you stay there as long as you need to. And as a member of the Fisher family, I feel really blessed to be a part of the work that so many amazing people have helped accomplish with Fisher House. And, you know, we just believe that a family's love is really good medicine, and I don't think you can put a price on that. But unfortunately, so many families, they do. That's the reality they have to face if they're going to be by their loved one's side in their recovery.
The military families in America have carried such a burden of this past decade on their shoulders.
Tremendous burden.
And it's so peculiar how this is so different than wartime that we've seen in the past, World War II, World War I, when everybody carried the burden. There seems to be a tremendous disconnect today between the burden of the families of the military and people who don't have personal connection to the military.
I think you're so on the pulse there. I think the fact that, you know, we have a volunteering military, we're so blessed to have that. You know, those that don't feel that they're capable of serving our country don't have to. I don't think that's something to be taken lightly, but as you said, I think it does sort of disconnect us as a society sometimes. But this war, and especially this generation of veterans, is going to be unlike anything we've ever experienced or, you know, have personal experience with, even in the history of our country. And you know, I get really emotional talking about it still, only because I've been dating an Iraq veteran for 3 years now. He's one of the most incredible men that I've met, but I've seen a whole other perspective of what our generation of veterans are going through coming back from Iraq and Afghanistan. And it's really heartbreaking that many of them feel that they're going it alone.
Well, you are working on a movement and a cause that obviously touches people. And it's interesting the parallel between your work with Fisher House and your work as an artist touching people directly. Tremendous. I to use a cliche, I salute you. We're talking military for helping people with your art. And your art obviously goes beyond music, but to your ability to communicate. You're a great communicator. I want to just jump back for 1 second because I'm fascinated by your music. Again, such a young performer with such decades and decades and decades of soulful experience evident in your sound. What were some of your influences? This sounds more like a American Bandstand kind interview now. What were some of your influences as a young woman growing up and becoming, evolving into a musician?
You know, I'm of, you know, the bubblegum pop generation, so I was the little kid that, you know, Britney Spears was targeting and, you know, looking to have as a fan. So when I started to come into my own as a young adult and into songwriting, I decided that I would try to look outside of what was in front of me in the modern day of music. And I tried to be influenced a little more by, I guess you would call them vintage musicians now, but, you know, a lot of rock and roll, you know, Freddie Mercury from Queen. I have such a personal love for everything that he's done musically. I mean, some of his works were so huge and symphonic, and his voice was just so powerful and raw. And, you know, a lot of, like, the female rockers, Hart and Ann Wilson, and, you know, there was just sort of an intensity and power to their music that really drew me in, because I always felt like I was having an intensely emotional experience when I was listening to it, and I really wanted my music to do the same thing for other people.
Do you have any memory of or experience listening to artists such as Joni Mitchell or Laura Nyro?
Oh, absolutely.
Because I thought of both of them when I was listening to your songs. And,
you know,
they're my favorites.
I certainly didn't try to sound like anyone, but
no, you
I
don't.
Think, especially with a first album, you kind of naturally go with what you know and what feels right to you. And so I certainly wasn't trying to emulate anyone in particular, but I guess, you know, a lot of people listening to it, they hear the influence of the people that I had on my iPod listening to at the time. So,
yeah.
You know, I think sometimes it's just a happy accident.
Well, that's the nature of art. Art is a scene evolves as artists influence other artists. Otherwise, there'd be no scene. There would just be art, and there'd be no connectivity between the products of the artists. We wouldn't have schools of art. We wouldn't have art scenes. We wouldn't have art communities if it weren't for that. So there's nothing wrong with being influenced. As a matter of fact, it's a natural part of it. It's being imitative that you want to avoid.
And, of course. I think sometimes there can be a fine line.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's hard to walk sometimes, but I think as long as it's not intentional, then, you know, you can't really argue with what comes out in the songwriting process. It just is what it is sometimes.
Got to ask you one quick question, and I'm going to let you go, and I'll fill everybody in after this conversation on how they could get in touch with your music and how they can also get in touch with Fisher House, because we have these two subjects going, and I will do that. But you have a video. I think the song is called Drowned.
Drowned.
I just saw it the other day. And it starts out, and you go, oh, okay, that's interesting. There's a little water dripping here and there. And I don't want to give it away to people, not that you could give away a video, because you're supposed to watch it many times.
Right.
You know, it's like, I don't want to ruin the ending, folks. But how the heck did you make that? And you don't have to go into all the technical stuff, but it's an amazing thing to watch. Basically, for the people listening to this, she's playing the piano in her apartment or in an apartment, and all of a sudden little drips of water start coming out of the walls, and before long, the whole apartment is full of water, and she drowns in it. It's beautiful, and it's shocking. Did you get wet making that? Did you get soaked? Were you in a...
I was soaked for 14 hours.
Oh, my gosh.
Days of filming. We were actually outside in Woodstock, so how we managed to accomplish that was that we built that apartment room over a pool, and then we slowly... dropped the room into the pool shot by shot. And so the cameraman was in a wetsuit in the room with me to keep the camera level. And essentially, it looks like the room is filling up with water, but what is really happening is that we're sinking down into the pool.
But you really are in water. You see, I figured, oh, this has to be done digitally. I figured, oh, I can't keep up with these digital wizards.
We absolutely did not use any graphics or post-editing or any tricks like that. You know, when I talked to the director, I said, I want this to be real. Can you pull it off? And he said, oh, you know, magical realism is sort of like my thing. So I was really lucky to work with Burke Hefner on that. He made my dream a reality. But, you know, sometimes dare to dream and everything works out the way you see it in your head. And that's a really beautiful, beautiful moment when you're creating.
It is an extraordinary work of art. And I will encourage everybody listening to this to check it out, and I will tell them how. Tora, thank you so much for joining us on the program.
Thank you so much for having me. And, you know, thank you for your continued support for Fisher House. I know how much it means to all of the families and the veterans that have served us.
An outstanding young woman indeed, Tora Fisher, recording artist. She's a singer, a songwriter, and a humanitarian. And the Fisher House, go to www.fisherhouse.org for more information about Fisher House. Go to www.officialtora.org. It's officialtora.com for more information about Tora Fisher, the singer and songwriter. And you'll be doing a lot of good on both ends. Very, very interesting indeed. I'm Michael Harrison. You're listening to A Touch of Grey, the talk show for grown-ups. Coming up next, Kevin Casey will join us from Talkers Magazine. And then we'll have Carol Marks talking with Dr. Mike Denninger about post-traumatic stress disorder. All that and more coming your way when A Touch of Grey, the talk show for grown-ups, continues right here on this great talk radio station in just a moment.
If I, the darkest light, made it after all, and when I cry over you and I, tears mean less when they fall. And now I see what's in front of me.
You want a piece of me?
You want a piece of me?
You want a piece of me?
They're not movie tough guys, just ordinary people doing something extraordinary. They're all signed up on MatchingDonors.com, willing to donate their kidney to anyone who needs it. In the U.S., 19 people die each day waiting for an organ transplant, most of them for kidneys. MatchingDonors.com improves those odds by finding living, altruistic donors for patients desperately needing transplants. Go to MatchingDonors.com and meet some extraordinary people. That's MatchingDonors.com.
Want to stay informed when there are changes to Social Security? Subscribe to receive automatic email updates on popular Social Security web pages with the click of a button. Just visit www.socialsecurity.gov/govdelivery. More than 1 million people already receive updates to the pages they're most interested in. You can too. Look for the red envelope followed by a link that says Get Email Updates. To learn more, visit www.socialsecurity.gov/govdelivery. Social Security delivers.
This is a Driving Today Minute. Even though high gasoline prices have moderated somewhat, they're still quite high. It just makes good sense to do what you can do to reduce your fuel costs. The Alliance to Save Energy suggests a few easy things you can do.
Keep your car properly tuned up and change the air filter regularly, both to save gas and protect your engine. Curtail aggressive driving, according to the U.S. Department of Energy. Speeding, rapid acceleration, and hard braking waste gas and curb mileage by as much as 33% at highway speeds.
So nix the jackrabbit starts and opt instead for slow acceleration from a dead stop. Slow down. The DOE says each mile per hour you drive over 60 is like paying an extra 10 cents per gallon. Inflate tires to the proper pressure. This will increase fuel economy and make tires safer and extend their life.
This Driving Today Minute is brought to you by Bridgestone Firestone Tires. You can get more information like this at drivingtoday.com or by visiting our partners such as autobytel.com, motorsportsforum.com, and more.
You're listening to A Touch of Gray.
Check out our website at atouchofgray.com. We spell gray with an E. That's atouchofgray.com. We spell gray with an E.
Hi, I'm Sigourney Weaver. If you're like me, your dog or cat is part of the family, and they rely on you to take care of them. Like a family doctor, your veterinarian and staff know what's best for that special family member. So visit your vet regularly for checkups, for prevention of disease like heartworm, and for the best advice on everyday issues like flea and tick control. Your veterinarian knows best, so take the time to ask questions. For healthy pets, visit the vet.
A message from the American Animal Hospital Association.
You're age 65 and you've made your decision to keep working and delay receiving your benefits. That's fine, but don't forget about Medicare. Most people should apply for Medicare coverage within 4 months of reaching age 65. And there's a fast, convenient, and simple way to apply for Medicare in as little as 10 minutes. Online at www.socialsecurity.gov/Medicare only. That's socialsecurity.gov/Medicare only.
Engine.
Check.
Thrusters.
Check.
Fuel.
Check.
Computers.
Check.
Social Security.
No check, go direct.
That's right, Patty. A few weeks ago, I went online to godirect.org to sign up for direct deposit. It's easy to do, and I got my cash at warp speed.
Wow, it's fast and easy. I'll sign up right now to make sure I'm prepared for our next mission.
Carol Marks is one of America's leading experts on upper demographic issues and a champion in the battle against ageism in our society. Her fabulous new book, Modern Aging, A Guide for Seasoned Citizens to Achieve Health, Happiness, and Purpose, published by Talkers Books, is a major breakthrough in providing a maturing population with vital information and inspiration to live better and more productive lives. Carol Marks offers practical strategies for juggling work, romance, and navigating the healthcare system. She is a guide through the maze of grandparenting, technology, travel, and retirement, as well as facing the sandwich generation's struggle of supporting adult children and elderly parents. Modern Aging by Carol Marks is available now at www.talkersbooks.com. That's www.talkersbooks.com.
If you plan to apply for Social Security disability benefits, there are things you can do to help speed up the usual 3 to 5 month wait for a decision. The more information you provide up front, the less time it'll take us to obtain the needed evidence, and the faster the decision can be made. Information like medical records or documentation, the names, addresses, and phone numbers of your doctors and medical facilities, information on your past employment, and more. To be prepared, visit www.socialsecurity.gov/disability and select Disability Starter Kits.
Continuing now with A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups, I'm Michael Harrison in the anchor seat, and we're joined by our senior correspondent, Kevin Casey, who is also the vice president and executive editor of Talkers, the trade publication in the talk radio industry. And Kevin, people don't often think about, you know, a game as being part of talk radio, but the game of baseball and radio in general have had a partnership that goes back, I think, to the beginning of the medium and to the earliest part of the 20th century. There's something about baseball that really works on radio. Isn't that true?
Yeah, there is. You know, of all the sports that are out there, it really is the one sport that works well on the radio. A lot of it has to do with the pacing of the game of baseball. There's not a lot of time to step down to talk about the background of the game. It's not too fast that the announcer has to speak so quickly that you can't understand what's going on. And it just has that sort of grace and flow that works well with radio.
Also, the thing about baseball that's very, very conducive to having somebody do the narrative, as they say, the play-by-play, is that there's only one or two players involved in every play.
Yeah.
The batter hits the ball, the fielder catches the ball, he throws it to another one, and that's where the action is. Whereas in hockey, basketball, and even football, there are so many things going on that one voice cannot cover it all. You have to sort of like watch it and just take it in.
Yeah, it's very true. I mean, it's funny. You know, football is such a it's the most popular television sport in this day and age. And you know, with 22 guys on the field at once, imagine trying to describe what 22 guys are doing.
Mm-hmm. Matter of fact, I think the only reason that some football players try as hard as they do is because they know that there's a camera on them and that after the game, the coaches go over what they call the film. It's funny, they still say watching the film.
Yeah.
And everybody is scrutinized for every little move they make. So they're always on. I remember as a kid growing up, and I think a lot of the people listening to this program will have the same memory, that baseball was on television. It was black and white. We only had black and white TV in those days. And I think every kid from my generation will tell you that the first time they went to the ballpark, one of the things that just grabbed them, just stunned them, was when you come through the tunnel and suddenly you're in the sunlight again and you're seeing the baseball field, was the fact that the grass was green. And it was so green. The first time I ever saw a baseball game in color was when I went to the ballpark.
Wow.
And,
that's amazing.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not the only one who will tell you that story. It's kind of one of those funny things, and it's extremely generational. Well, baseball season is off and running this week. A whole new development for the folks in radio, because baseball is such an important part of it. I know you cover it at Talkers. Kevin Casey is the vice president and executive editor of Talkers. Talkers magazine is located at talkers.com. If you want to know what's going on behind the scenes in talk radio. And he is a senior correspondent here on A Touch of Gray and a regular member of our cast of characters here on the program. I'm Michael Harrison. A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups, continues with the host of the program, Carol Marks, in just a moment.
You want a piece of me?
You want a piece of me?
You want a piece of me?
They're not movie tough guys, just ordinary people doing something extraordinary. They're all signed up on MatchingDonors.com, willing to donate their kidney to anyone who needs it. In the U.S., 19 people die each day waiting for an organ transplant, most of them for kidneys. MatchingDonors.com improves those odds by finding living, altruistic donors for patients desperately needing transplants. Go to MatchingDonors.com and meet some extraordinary people. That's MatchingDonors.com.
Want to stay informed when there are changes to Social Security? Subscribe to receive automatic email updates on popular Social Security web pages with the click of a button. Just visit www.socialsecurity.gov/govdelivery. More than 1 million people already receive updates to the pages they're most interested in. You can too. Look for the red envelope followed by a link that says Get Email Updates. To learn more, visit www.socialsecurity.gov/govdelivery. Social Security delivers.
Hi, this is Morgan Freeman. Has anyone ever said, you are the picture of health? You look healthy, you feel fine, but that may not be the full picture. Colorectal cancer is the second leading cancer killer of men and women over 50. Since it doesn't always cause symptoms, you may not know you have it. The only way to know is by getting screened. Screening can find precancerous polyps, so they can be removed before they turn into cancer. This is one cancer you can prevent. Plus, screening can find colorectal cancer at an early stage when the chance for a full recovery is very high. Talk with your doctor and get tested for colorectal cancer. Medicare and many insurance plans help pay for screening. Get screened. Make sure you are the picture of health.
A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention.
Hi, I'm Sigourney Weaver. If you're like me, your dog or cat is part of the family, and they rely on you to take care of them. Like a family doctor, your veterinarian and staff know what's best for that special family member. So visit your vet regularly for checkups, for prevention of disease like heartworm, and for the best advice on everyday issues like flea and tick control. Your veterinarian knows best, so take the time to ask questions. For healthy pets, visit the vet.
A message from the American Animal Hospital Association.
You're age 65 and you've made your decision to keep working and delay receiving your benefits. That's fine, but don't forget about Medicare. Most people should apply for Medicare coverage within 4 months of reaching age 65. And there's a fast, convenient, and simple way to apply for Medicare in as little as 10 minutes. Online at www.socialsecurity.gov/Medicare only. That's socialsecurity.gov/Medicare only.
Continuing now with A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups, I'm Michael Harrison in the anchor chair, and here now is the host of the program, Carol Marks, in conversation with Dr. Mike Denninger. He's a licensed professional counselor who specializes in the treatment of post-traumatic stress disorder. And he's going to talk to Carol about his personal story that he writes about in his new book titled Snakes in My Dreams, A Mental Health Therapist's Odyssey from Hardship to Healer. It's published by Unrivaled Books.
Isn't it true that really that the brain shields us, that the mind, or brain if you want to call it, shields us from overwhelming events? And is this a good thing, and what does that result in?
It absolutely is a good thing, because what happens, it's called dissociation in mental health terms. Individuals who are abused or suffer trauma when they're very young use a variety of mechanisms to cope. One is dissociation, when a person's It's like when a person's level of consciousness is affected. Normally connected functions of, like memory, thoughts, feelings, and experience are distorted or disturbed or just blocked completely. And in my case, specific acts, experiences of abuse were blocked from my memory for 40 years. You can't really predict when these memories are going to come back. They tend to come back on their own terms and in their own time. And in my case, they started to come back after I stopped drinking. I was an alcoholic for 25 years plus. And when I stopped drinking in my early 40s, it was about a year later that all of this started to unfold for me. And that's not an unusual story.
You were sexually abused by your father. And I was very interested when you wrote about your siblings and that they all had different memories about their childhood and whether they were abused or not. Does that surprise you?
No, it doesn't surprise me at all. If a child in a family is targeted and not the other siblings are not, it's not unusual for a child to express a very different experience growing up in the same family as the siblings might. And frankly, I don't think that someone would alert to the significance of an abusive act unless as much as they would if they were inside and experiencing it firsthand. So we're able to tolerate things much better, of course, that happened to other people around us. But I doubt that my siblings ever witnessed anything that happened to me.
By the way, is there a good website for adult victims who've been victims of childhood sexual abuse?
Absolutely, yes. I'm on the board of Male Survivor, and that website is malesurvivor.org. And its express purpose, our organization, is to combat the effects of sexual abuse and sexual assault as well for men. There is a sister organization called PAVE, P-A-V, V as in Victor, E, and you can Google that and find their website. I think it's stoptheviolence.com, but I could be wrong. But PAVE is the name of the organization for both men and women, but with more focus on women.
Now, in addition to struggling with the effects of repressed childhood abuse memories, you went through the process of ending your 17-year marriage, which produced two children. Ending your marriage, you openly acknowledged your homosexuality. So how painful was that whole process, and what kind of relationship do you have today with your children?
It was extremely painful for me. Anyone who reads the book will see how I struggled with that, finally coming to grips with it in my late 30s. I have had a mother. She's passed away now, but she was Catholic, and she was certainly not going to tolerate that. And when I did come out to her, she really gave me a hard time. How difficult it was is certainly in the book, but she was the one I tried to please most, and probably one of the reasons why I stayed in the closet for so long. Now, as far as the relationship with my family goes, I'm on good speaking terms with my ex-wife. Took us a while to sort that out, of course, but she has since remarried. I think she's very happy. And my two children, and I have two grandsons now. I have a son in California who's a drummer, a musician, and my daughter is a PhD physical therapist in Charlotte, North Carolina. So, yes, we came through that. I think honesty is important in the long run.
Oh, I couldn't agree more. Now, you mentioned it earlier about the importance of journal entries.
Yes.
And I guess you put everything in them, and which included your dreams. Do you think journal entries are helpful for other people when they're trying to sort through things?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Of course, I'm a counselor, too, you know, so I kind of wear two hats in this regard now. But for me, by journaling, I found out that there were three or four early childhood significant memories that carried a lot of weight, but I didn't understand why. For example, there was a day when my dad took me and my cousins and my brother to get some coal from across town, and we hauled it back in his trailer, and we shoveled it into the coal bin. And that particular memory on a hot summer day, with the coal dust kind of sticking to us like sugar on a donut, you know, that just never left me. I kept thinking about it for 35, 40 years. And what transpired was I then had a dream when all this was unfolding about a coal car and my father. And it was the next day that the bubble, the memory, opened up of a time that I was sexually abused in the coal bin by my father. So just journaling, if I had not journaled, I wouldn't have been aware consciously of that particular memory that stayed so long and kept kind of pestering me over the years.
Now, I understand that you are now going to be focusing your practice on the nature of trauma, particularly post-traumatic stress disorders, and there seem to be so many people suffering from them this day, including our returning wounded veterans. So what are some of the helpful techniques that you will be and are employing to resolve the devastating symptoms of post-traumatic stress?
Well, there's a technique that's not very well known, but I will go anywhere, and I promise you this is true. I will go anywhere, and I will demonstrate it to anyone to show that it's effective and it doesn't take long at all. It's called eye movement integration. And it's a very simple technique where you have a person kind of think about the memory that's traumatic while they watch you move a pen in front of their eyes. That sounds very simple and kind of hokey when I say it that way myself, but in the hands of someone who's trained to use this technique, it is more effective than the leading techniques, the leading therapies out there that have been researched to death. And you're right, there are so many people out there with PTSD right now, and it's so needed. So it's called eye movement integration, and there is a lecture about it on my website at denninger.com. And there's also two demonstrations of how I use the technique with two different volunteers.
And that can be so helpful and needed. Now, do you hope that your book will encourage your readers to find their own truth and be more sensitive and supportive, you know, when we all are interacting with other people?
Yes, both. I find in my practice that, you know, for men and women who recall memories that they've forgotten for a long time, it often happens in the 30s, the 40s, or even the 50s before these things unfold. Oftentimes, when there's a change of life of significance, like a divorce or a death of a parent, or in my case, you know, when I stopped drinking after, you know, kind of masking all of those memories for so many years. Not only is it important for people who think that things have happened to them or know that things have happened to them and recognize that it's interfering with their life, but also for their spouses, for their family, for their friends. On the Male Survivor website, we have discussion groups and we have public forums where family members can go in anonymously and just, you know, post questions or problems that they have with their spouse as a result of child abuse or sexual abuse.
Dr. Mike Denninger in conversation with Carol Marks. His book is titled Snakes in My Dreams, A Mental Health Therapist's Odyssey from Hardship to Healer, published by Unrivaled Books. Malesurvivor.org is the website. You're plugged into A Touch of Gray.
You're age 65 and you've made your decision to keep working and delay receiving your benefits. That's fine, but don't forget about Medicare. Most people should apply for Medicare coverage within 4 months of reaching age 65. And there's a fast, convenient, and simple way to apply for Medicare in as little as 10 minutes. Online at www.socialsecurity.gov/Medicare-only. That's socialsecurity.gov/Medicare-only.
Carol Marks is one of America's leading experts on upper demographic issues and a champion in the battle against ageism in our society. Her fabulous new book, Modern Aging, A Guide for Seasoned Citizens to Achieve Health, Happiness, and Purpose, published by Talkers Books, is a major breakthrough in providing a maturing population with vital information and inspiration to live better and more productive lives. Carol Marks offers practical strategies for juggling work, romance, and navigating the healthcare system. She is a guide through the maze of grandparenting, technology, travel, and retirement, as well as facing the sandwich generation struggle of supporting adult children and elderly parents. Modern Aging by Carol Marks is available now at www.talkersbooks.com. That's www.talkersbooks.com.
She's conquered some of the most challenging ski courses anywhere, but with only one leg, the odds were against her even walking.
The growth was stunted in my right leg when I was born, and the doctors told my mother we needed to amputate when I was 5 years old.
Bonnie was helped at a Shriners Hospital, one of a network of 22 hospitals helping kids throughout North America. Shriners Hospitals provide world-class orthopedic and burn medical care, and they offer that care totally free of charge.
The care and treatment the Shriners gave me was a gift. It wasn't just about learning to walk. They helped me to believe in myself.
There's a Shriners Hospital helping kids from this area realize their dreams.
If I went back to the Shriners Hospital and talked to the nurses and doctors, I would say thank you. Thank you for making my dreams come true.
If you know a child they could help, call 1-800-237-5055. Shriners, giving help and hope to kids for over 80 years.
Engines.
Check.
Thrusters.
Check.
Fuel.
Check.
Computers.
Check.
Social Security.
No check, go direct.
That's right, Patty. A few weeks ago, I went online to GoDirect.org to sign up for direct deposit. It's easy to do, and I got my cash at warp speed.
Wow, it's fast and easy. I'll sign up right now to make sure I'm prepared for our next mission.
Continuing now with A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups, I'm Michael Harrison in the anchor chair, and we come to the final segment of this hour of our broadcast, and we're joined by our senior correspondent, Steve Wiseman, attorney Stephen J.J. Wiseman, Esquire, man who's written The Truth About Avoiding Scams, published by Prentice Hall, the man whose website is titled scamicide.com. Here he is now to talk about long-term care insurance riders. Steve?
Thank you, Michael. You know, a lot of us know that we should be planning for long-term care, which doesn't just mean planning for nursing home care, but it also could be for at-home care as we age. And long-term care insurance, however, is turning out to be very, very expensive and getting more expensive as time goes on. But the insurance industry is always innovating to meet the needs of the public. Now, many of these insurance companies have pulled out of long-term care insurance policies. What they have developed is kind of interesting. It's a new type of life insurance that allows the policyholder to access the death benefit, that large amount, for long-term care needs during their lifetime. Now, under the terms of these new policies, policyholders can access some, all, or none of the death benefit to meet long-term care needs. The cost of this policy is less than buying a permanent life insurance policy and a long-term care insurance policy separately, with the additional cost over a life insurance policy without such a rider, averaging about 10%. And in addition, and this is kind of important to consumers, is the fact that many people who apply for long-term care insurance policies, standalone policies, are rejected for medical reasons. And although the decline rates vary from age group to age group, with 17% of people within the ages of 50 and 59 being rejected for long-term care insurance for medical reasons and goes up as you get older, the acceptance rate for people applying for these new hybrid life insurance policies is 90%, which is attractive to consumers. Now, there are variations among the companies offering this type of hybrid policy, but generally, they'll start with a universal life or a variable universal life policy as a base with an accelerated death benefit rider that allows you to take 2% of the death benefit out every month. Now, some policies set a base below which the benefit may not be reduced. Some even include additional provisions that will extend the long-term care benefits after the policy limits have been met. In addition, some of the policies will even have a significant guaranteed interest rate that grows tax-deferred. Now, as with conventional long-term care insurance, you can also get simple or compound inflation protection for the amount that you would access for long-term care benefits. Benefits for some policies can also include payment of expenses incurred while in an assisted living facility, as well as home care benefits. If you receive skilled nursing or other professional services at home from a home health care agent. So, you know, today where the need is going to be there and yet long-term care insurance is turning out to be so costly, this may be something that a lot of us should be looking at.
Thank you very much. That's Steve Wiseman, Stephen J.J. Wiseman, Esquire, senior correspondent in A Touch of Gray, and a prolific writer who's written the book The Truth About Avoiding Scams, published by Prentice Hall, the publisher of the very informative website Scamicide.com. And always good to have Steve on our program. Well, that about does it. Thank you very much, Steve. Thank you very much, Beverly Santinello, our producer on the front line. Thank you very, very much to Carol Marks, the host and founder of the program, Kevin Casey, and the entire Touch of Gray broadcast team. Thank you for listening. I'm Michael Harrison. We invite you to join us next weekend right here for another installment of A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups.